The year is 2084. Robots have started to kill human beings and have revolted against their masters. This week on It's So Bad, we're talking about Robotron 2084 on the podcast. Welcome, Chris.
Michael, hello.
How are you?
Oh, you know, it's a nice, balmy 30 degrees out here in Massachusetts, and we're about to get 9 inches of snow where we are, possibly. So I am fantastic. How about you?
I am wonderful. You know, snow goes away. It melts.
It does.
But pandemics seem to last forever, so... You damned if you do, you damned if you don't.
But yeah, yes, you can subscribe to this podcast.
Yeah, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. We are here today to add a game known as, what's this game known as? Robotron 2084 to the Endless List. It will be our 105th entry on the Endless List. Our Endless List currently goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser at number 104. Last week, what did we add? We had Crystallis at number 58. And yeah, so this week we're adding a arcade classic from 1982. The game named Robotron. The game which helped to popularize twin-stick shooters. I know that's a genre you enjoy. So what's your, I guess, how... When was the first time you remember playing this game?
You know, my first memories of playing it was my grandmother had an Atari 2700, I think. And I think I played that port first. So not a great first impression. Yes, yes. It was one of the old Atari ports. For background, my grandmother was quite the... antique collector, reseller, would buy lots of, like just literally lots, and inventory from places. So there was always like stacks of Atari systems and Atari games. And when I used to stay over there, I used to, she would set them up for me, and I would go. I played a ton of Atari games when I was growing up, and one of the Robotron ports was my first time playing it. Then I went on to actually play the
interesting
better quality version as I went on in life.
I will say one of the interesting factoids about this game is that the Atari 5200 version was one of the best ports until they ported it to like modern systems. So it came out in the arcade, then was ported to the Apple II, Atari 8-bit, Atari 5200, Atari 7800, Atari ST, a BBC Micro, Commodore 64. It was on the Lynx, IBM PC. But the Atari 5200 had the like 2600 with the number pad, so it had like the stick with the number pad on it and two buttons on the side. If you plugged in two sticks, you could use them as twin sticks. And it also an accessory that you could slide in the two twin sticks and hold it so it would be more ergonomic for you to play with the two twin stick shooter.
I did replay the 2700 port, like, leading up to this pod, in addition to the arcade original. And that 2700 port sucks. Really sucks. You can't fire from a stationary position. You always have to be, like, walking a little bit to fire, which...
interesting.
Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, so the game came out in 1982, as we said. It was made by Eugene Jarvis and Larry DeMar. Eugene Jarvis is like got quite the history in video games. He made Defender. Mm-hmm. The company that they were part of, VidKids, who developed this game, DeMar and Jarvis, they also made Stargate, which is another semi-big game back in the early 80s. But 82 was the year that Ms. Pac-Man came out, Dig Dug, Donkey Kong Jr., Pitfall, Burger Time, Zaxxon, Joust, Q-Bert, Pole Position. So, like, really the classic age of arcade games. This is the year before the crash, the video game crash. Mm. So you got a whole bunch of good shit, and then I guess like the next year it was kind of all downhill. But did you ever play a game called Berserk? Have you ever played Berserk from this
no,
time?
No, but I know like they. I know this? The one or both of the creators they worked on Berserk, or no, they just played it a lot, right? That was like their inspiration for
yeah,
this game.
Yeah, so they're. Yes, so they were initially inspired by Space Invaders and Asteroids to make this game. And then they started playing Berserk in a Commodore PET game called Chase. And Berserk is kind of quite similar to this. You could definitely see that this is an iteration on Berserk. But Berserk is you have a guy on a screen, and there's like a maze, and you have to shoot the robots that are all around you. And if you don't shoot them in time, then Evil Otto, this green blob, comes and eats you.
I have played this.
So they took inspiration from Space Invaders, Asteroids, Berserk, and Chase. But yeah, they were kind of like compiling a bunch of things to come up with ideas for games. But Jarvis actually injured his hand in an automobile accident. So he had a cast on his hand, and he couldn't use the buttons, and that's why he came up with the twin stick concept. But this isn't even the first game to use twin sticks. There was a 76 game, Taito's Gunfight, that used two sticks, but not in this manner. There was a game called Space Dungeon that was made by Taito that used two sticks. So he didn't necessarily invent the concept of a twin stick shooter, but helped popularize it, you would say. But yeah, this is a game. This game, so for people who don't know, it's, you know, you're a little guy, and there, if you're playing in an arcade, you have two joysticks. One joystick moves, the other one fires in certain directions. And it basically came up with the concept of a twitch shooter, which is there are guys on the screen, enemies that will constantly come towards you or walk around in weird patterns or shoot things at you, and you have to clear the screen of all the enemies and also save the humans in order to progress. So, and I think there's something like 40 different screens that you have to clear, and then it repeats itself all the way up to 255 levels. Mm-hmm.
It's just 21 to 40 repeat until you get to 255, I think. So you kind of jump in late.
Right.
Late in the game. I think the family I was reading was like, or not family, but the human characters to save, I think were, from what I was reading, was like a later addition, because I think they liked, I was reading like they liked the, how they worked on Defender previously, and they liked the rescuing mechanic and like the thrill that kind of provided, and so they thought that would work well here. Actually, I did find myself, like, as I was playing it, like, I knew I didn't need to rescue the family, because they're just points, but I mean, that's what you play this for, is high scores. But I found myself like stressing to go and save members of the human cast that's like wandering around.
You do get a lot of points though if you save them, especially if there's a lot on screen. So the first human you save is 100 points, second human is 200, third human is 300, and it works up. So you can get like 1,000 points just by picking up a human in later levels. So those are big point getters. They also canonically are clones of the last human family.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so this game was titled 2084 because 1984 was 2 years away, and they wanted to have the dystopian vibe, but they also wanted to add sci-fi to it. So they put in robots, and the whole idea of the game is that you're fighting off a robot revolt against human masters, as they were previously somehow like acting as helpers in human society. But in 2084, all shit goes insane. So they kill all the humans.
You know, it'll be funny if we're still doing this pod in 2084. We can have a little bit of a retrospective on this game and see how things are going.
We can reevaluate it. But yeah, even at this time, when this game came out, it was considered using a single screen because scrolling was a thing, because like Defender had scrolling and a bunch of other games had scrolling. I think even Qbert had scrolling. I don't think it was a single screen game. Pitfall had scrolling, etc. It was considered retro to be a single screen game, and this game was like, we're going to put everything on a box and make it so that you have to, you know, stay inside this box and shoot all these robots. But I think it's a, for me personally, I think it's a great game. It's very, it's like super addictive. It's super like Twitch based. It's like all on you and your skill level in order to progress. There's not a lot of like cheap deaths, I would say. It's more of a matter of you need to figure out strategically how you want the guys to move towards you. Each of the enemies too is programmed very uniquely. So like the first guys you'll see are called Grunts, Ground Roving Unit Network Terminators. That's an acronym. And they're designed to take the shortest path to you. And every level, grunts get progressively faster, but they're never as fast as you. So, like, that, just that simple design is makes it so that you can progress a little bit, but once you get a certain level, it's, you need to figure out how you can best operate them. And then there's also, like, Hulks, which are the big guys you can't kill. Mm-hmm. They were inspired by Evil Otto from Berserk, but they're basically, they just walk around randomly, but they make it so that it's like more of like a maze, the levels.
Right.
Then there's like there's electrodes that shoot at you. Did you get as far as the brains? I think they're like no, levels.
Not this time.
So they're, I think they start at screen 7, and what they do is when they touch a human, they can like warp them and they turn them into like enemies and they go off screen. And they also shoot cruise missiles. So it's not just like a missile that flies at you in a straight line, but they like zigzag and it gets fucking really tough. So there's a lot of different enemies, progressively gets harder. I will say one thing about this game is that they definitely, the difficulty gets hard really quickly. Like, it gets super hard if you don't know what you're doing. Like, for example, the electrodes that shoot at you come out of those like pulsating bubbles,
right?
And yeah, they, if you, you need to figure out how to clear them off the screen or else they become a big fucking hassle. So but these, yeah, I mean, this game just becomes incredibly hard by like, you know, screen 8 or 9, I think, where it's like you need to, there's like levels to your skill level that you need to progress through. But yeah, I find it to be very good. I know you like the game Smash TV.
That's actually what I was going to say next. This is like the precursor to Smash TV, right? Like, it's the same creators, right?
Yeah. So Eugene Jarvis would go on to make Smash TV, Total Carnage, which was its sequel, as well as Narc and the Cruisin' series.
Well, that's a portfolio. Narc was not what I expected in that list of games.
He made a game a couple years ago called Nex Machina, which is, I think he like came out on an indie imprint that he made up, but basically it was a revival of Smash TV and Robotron. That game I've heard is very good from friends who don't even know about Smash TV or Total Carnage. So that's, that game is a twin stick shooter as well. This game also is known, so in terms of the sequels that came up after this, they were supposed to create a sequel to this game, but the video game crash happened in 1983, so they never actually got around to it. But in, I think, what was it, like 95, there was a PS1 game called Robotron X, which was a 3D version of Robotron that came out.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I've never played it. I saw it when I was like reading for this.
It looks terrible. It looks absolutely atrocious.
Oh, it's like
I want to, I don't,
it's like every classic arcade game at some point someone decided, hey, like, it needs like a really goofy like 3D update and stuff like that. Like, even like my favorite Galaga has all these like really hokey like modern updates and stuff like that. And it's just I don't know. I don't get it. I take it back. When the PlayStation 1 was out, you know, why would you do anything 2D? Everything in 3D is cooler, so let's just do that.
Totally.
That's just what it was. Everything 3D is cooler.
They did that to NBA Jam, and it was terrible. Every time they did it, it was terrible. I forget what that NBA Jam, it was like NBA, I forget, like NBA Jam Extreme, maybe?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, it's like they say in Jurassic Park, like, you know, just because you could, you know, doesn't mean you should.
They made Robotron 64, which I have for the N64. That game is really fun. It's really fun. It's like a small update that like flattens out the difficulty a little bit. And I think there's just a ton of screens. I've made it to like screen 60 before. But it's just like an updated presentation. It's still single screen and 2D. Well, it's like 2.5D, but it's more 2D than 3D. And that game's really good. I enjoyed that game a lot. But yeah, other things about this game, the high score currently, the world record is 1.2 million. My highest that I got just for the what it's worth is like 70,000. So I don't know who's grinding on Robotron 64.
That's a video I'd like to watch though. Someone get to something even close to
that. I'm sure.
Oh boy.
I'm sure it's only like it's not that long either because this game like moves. It like is really fast.
And does everybody, do all the enemies populate in a, no, it's randomized, right? Like where the enemies populate on screen, I would think. So like,
boy, I think so.
That must be really difficult to try to topple a score like that when everything's like so randomized like that. Like it's not like Donkey Kong where it's like you can kind of, you know, like you,
figure it out.
Yeah.
Same thing over and over again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. But yeah, what do you like about this game? What were some positives for you?
So, you know, you referenced Smash TV, Super Smash TV. Like, I love that game growing up. Still love that game growing up. And even though this is kind of like the precursor to that game, like it still captures like the same like exciting feel that like Super Smash TV has, where it's like, you know, you are kind of frantically speeding around this like one screen, and it's like cool that you can shoot in so many different directions. Like it feels like it's very difficult, and like you're getting overwhelmed by like 100 things coming at you, but like it's very fun to kind of like shoot your way out of like those scenarios. And like when you get out of like a tight jam, like I love it like when games make you feel like a badass when you have gotten out of like a tight jam. And like this game definitely succeeds in that. It's like you might get through like a little narrow space between two enemies, and then, you know, you kind of shoot your way out of a corner and not die. And then like it's like that rush is really, you know, that's like a really fun feeling to have playing in a pick up and play arcade game like this. And then, you know, without fail, after I do something like really badass, chances are I get killed by something like really stupid and lame immediately thereafter, probably because I'm too wrapped up in the cool thing I just did. But it's just like it's like a cool like a mob chasing after you, a mob of robots chasing after you and fighting them off. It's very fun. The aesthetic is very cool. I like the sci-fi robo aesthetic. The only thing I just didn't really like was the, not that I didn't like, but the only things that were like really like a pain to me were like the flying enemies that like shoot projectiles at you. They weren't actually that bad, but like how I said, like I first was playing the Atari 2700 version of this game. Like those things are like impossible in the 2700 version. Like they like spam the entire screen with like darts they throw at you, and I think it just kind of traumatized me as I was playing other ports.
You gotta pop those bubbles before they open up. Those guys that shoot at you, they don't come unless if you pop those bubbles.
Yeah, it's different than the 2700 one. They just come, and it's awful when they do, because like they're like, play that version. That version's fucking terrible. But what about you? What is your enjoyment? This is like a game I think you really wanted to do for this, because I think it's one of your arcade favorites, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, it's not like my top tier arcade favorites, but it definitely is. Like, I wouldn't kick it out of bed at night. Let's just put it that way. Robotron. It's one of those games where, like, I want to have an arcade cabinet of it in my house, because it's a game that I don't think I would ever get bored of. Like, there are certain games out there that if you play a beat 'em up enough times, you get bored with it.
Sure.
But like Robotron, Missile Command, those games are like, or T- Tapper is another one. Those games are like, they just don't get boring to me, for example. Right, they're just repetitive over and over, and you try to get the high score, and I enjoy that. I also think this one's great because I love twin stick shooters now. I'm like a big fan of the Geometry Wars series. Those games are fucking dope if you haven't played them. And they basically like created the twin stick shooter revival. But even like stuff like Hotline Miami, which is kind of a twin stick shootery type thing, more like a puzzle twin stick shooter. Those games are awesome. So I just really like twin stick shooters. This game is, I really like this game. I think that I might even like this game more than Smash TV.
Really?
To be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I need to play Smash TV some more again. I had Smash TV growing up, so I do have this nostalgia for it. But, like, I don't know. Some of those weapons in Smash TV just never feel good. Some of the weapons you get, like the lobbing grenade and even, like, the spread shot. It's like, thinner. And plus that game feels like if you don't beat the boss, like you've done nothing. Whereas in Robotron, I feel a little bit of satisfaction when I get a higher score, for example, like that, even that's like better for me, but Smash TV isn't presented in that way. I would also say too, like even the drab rooms in Smash TV, if you play the arcade version, it's all gray. If you play in the NES version, it's brown. So it's like the colors just don't pop.
And well,
it's
the,
like,
doesn't the version look as to play good to me. Is the Super Nintendo version. That is like the one to play. That is the one to play.
I don't know about that because so I'll say this. It's probably the second best version to play. But if you play the NES version with two controllers with the D-pads, that feels really good, honestly. Because you can, one D-pad moves and the other D-pad fires in a direction.
Well, that's it.
That's really fun.
That's it. We're doing Smash TV next week. Next week's pod. It's going to be that. Executive decision made here. Look, you can get VCRs in that game. That's awesome. You get so many VCRs.
Big money.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I forget what the host's name is.
I can't.
But yeah. That game's good. I mean, I think things around the edges in that game are really good. Like when you're at the end of the level, you've got two babes next to you. Like that's
what the host does. Like, and, it's just what a ridiculous game.
Also, like how they, like in the sprites, they're wearing like hockey helmets. Yeah. Like, I always just love that. But yeah, Smash. So Eugene Jarvis made Smash TV. He also made some other stuff. So he's a great creator in this in the video games scene. He is a legend. But yes, we have talked about this game I think enough. Where does it go on our endless list of video games, which as I said goes from number one Super Mario 64 all the way down to number 104 Jurassic Park Trespasser. 58 was added last week. I think, you know, we have this zone of 80s arcade games, which is like Tapper's in there, Rampage is in there, Super Off-Road's in there, even got some 90s arcade games in there, like Crazy Taxi. I think this game goes somewhere in that zone personally.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's better than a lot of those. I'm looking at the list now.
Yeah.
I
would agree.
You know, Crazy Taxi definitely does.
I think it's better than Rampage.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's better than Rampage, because Rampage is so, as much as I love Rampage, I was just about to say one note. I think it's, I'm like looking at Crazy Taxi, then I'm like, all right, what happens if it ever went above Crazy Taxi? And then, actually, as I look at like a lot of the games above it, I don't know if it's better than many of the games above it, I think. You would probably make an argument saying it's better than Spider-Man 2, but I don't know. We may have to little pause here at Extreme Warfare Revenge.
I don't think it's better than Spider-Man 2. I definitely don't think it's better than Kung Fu.
I think Kung Fu is the ceiling there, but I think I also agree. I don't think it's better than Spider-Man 2.
But is it better than Crazy Taxi?
You know what? That could be like a coin toss. I like this sort of game better than a Crazy Taxi, but I could understand every argument for Crazy Taxi being the better game, you know.
Can we just say that that Robotron probably is way more influential as a video game?
Absolutely. So I would say it has quite
Crazy Taxi.
I would say it has quite the legacy, one could say.
Whoa, we did it. You said it.
You know, but I also want to say, it's really hard to compare Robotron and Crazy Taxi.
Put it on the wall.
Have we got the bingo card almost filled for this episode?
But the protagonist doesn't speak in this game, so.
Well, isn't there like a little scroll at the beginning, right?
I don't even know who the protagonist is in this game, actually, now that I think about it. And doing like the research behind this, I don't know who you're supposed to be.
Silent protagonist, like, maybe, to further clarify my evolving silent protagonist issue as this pod plays out, is that silent protagonists in JRPGs in particular are problematic to me. It's the RPG.
It's JRPGs.
It's also a problem in non-JRPGs, but it's mostly in the RPG realm. Silent, like, if it's an RPG, it's a character story-driven, emotional experience. I don't need some muted Link-like character in not emoting. I need emotion. I need feelings.
Side note, okay. Do we want to put money on if Final Fantasy 16 comes out this year? Or in 2021?
Is it slated to? Because, I mean, when is it slated to come out in 2021?
Is it supposed to? We need to figure out.
I thought it was like a couple of years from now. I thought it was like. But yeah, boy.
No, I thought it was 2021. Yeah. Okay. No. No official release date yet, but next big information reveal is 2021. Okay.
I thought
it was supposed to come out in 2021.
Great. I can't wait for the new grim, bloody Game of Thrones Final Fantasy direction. It's just, boy. Franchise that I loved that lost the plot a long, long time ago.
the only franchise that, to this day, even if it's a bad game, no matter what, day one, I'll pick it up. I'll play through that motherfucker the first day.
I learned with Final Fantasy 15 to never do that again. So,
yeah. First two-thirds of Final Fantasy 15 were okay. Then when you got to, like, the water town and the train section, it was like, woof.
You know what? It was a while ago when it first came out. I started playing the Pocket Edition of Final Fantasy 15, and I actually was,
How did you like that?
I didn't get, like, too far into it because, like, I was, like, so pissed that I just spent, like, so much money on Final Fantasy 15, but I liked the Pocket Edition. It was, like, so much more up my alley. And if I don't remember what it was, I think it was, like, $20 for the complete game at the time, and I was like, well, so I'm not paying $20 on top of, like, all the money just spent on this broken-ass game that wasn't even complete when it got released. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, so I think...
For everybody listening, that was your three-minute update on our stance on Final Fantasy,
yeah,
the series.
Yeah.
That was in the middle of a Robotron 2084 episode.
Listen, yeah.
Because we really know what we're doing here.
Yeah, listen, we're just two pals shooting the breeze over some video games.
All right, so number 63 is where we're going to place Robotron 2084. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Perfect. So we have a new number 63 on the endless list of video games. It is Robotron 2084, the arcade classic. It goes right in the arcade zone on the endless list. But yeah, so next week, what are we doing next week? Do you know?
I'm actually not 100% sure.
Cheesing it up?
Is it movie week next week?
It's movie week next week. Okay. Everybody out there, this is important news. So for every month, for until we get finished with them, we're going to be watching a video game movie, and we're going to have an endless list of video games. In terms of video game movie that exists, and they have to be based on a video game franchise. is our only thing, so we'll be watching everything from the Angry Birds movie all the way to your Mortal Kombats, your Yakuza Japanese movies, your 15 Resident Evil movies that were out there. We'll watch them all.
Did you know there's a we'll new really Mortal excited. Kombat movie coming out in 2021? Because I didn't know that until,
yeah.
until I saw the Warner Brothers announcement direct. That everything was going to HBO Max.
Yeah, it's going direct to HBO Max. I didn't know about it either, but I found out about it.
Yeah,
and I am very excited for that. But yeah, I'm going to force you guys to watch the Angry Birds movie that I've watched 50 times because I have a child. and it's surprisingly okay, and it will probably go high on our rankings. But yes, next week we are going to watch, for next week, Super Mario Brothers the movie, which is kind of the standard bearer. I think it was one of the first video game movies ever made. And it's kind of right in the middle of all the video game movies. Because there are a lot that are worse than that movie, and there are some that are better, I would say. But there are a lot of them. There's like the Dead or Alive movie. I was like looking it up. Like, there's a lot of video game movies.
Yeah, that's that'll be a nice trip down memory lane. I don't even know if I've even like seen it again since like when it first came out.
There's a great oral history of that movie that we'll talk about too. But that's on next week's episode. But we have a new number 63 on our endless list of video games. It is Robotron 2084, our 105th entry on the list. And I want to thank you, Chris, for joining me this week.
Hey, anytime. For the most part.
And we will talk next week.
Well, goodbye.
See you around.